All right, I want to get started. As you can tell, the tables are arranged a little bit differently this morning. And the reason for that will become clear. You have your rosters at your table, at least you should. So the table host should be making sure that those at their tables are, I think I'm cutting in and out again. So. They'll be making sure those at the tables are marked in and things like that. I want to take just a moment and introduce somebody to you. Jeff Kunath. Jeff, would you stand up? Jeff is the religion writer for the Orlando Sentinel. And through Mark Weibel, he heard about what we were doing, and so he wants to do a story. He was interested and wanted to do a story really on a church that was struggling and was attempting to do something about it, trying to rethink itself. And so he called Mark, and Mark told him about what was going on. And he came out this week, and we had a chance to talk. I encouraged him to come this morning. So he'll be sitting at some of your tables, just kind of listening to what's going on. And sometime this week, I guess, the article will appear. Is that right, Jeff? With any hope, he said. Okay, that's very, very good. So let's, if we would, let's bow our heads and start off today in a word of prayer. Lord God, we are so grateful for the day that you've given us. We thank you for the opportunity we have to gather here and to continue, Lord, to think led by your Spirit on just rethinking the church. We just ask that you would guide and direct all that is said and done, and we just give you the praise and the honor and the glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right. Now, you know that we got a little something for you today. All right. You know that. So, and we're going to need you to be real flexible because we might not have enough slips in some of the baskets. And so, but I'm real confident that even though that may throw a little bit of a snafu in there, that you guys are flexible. We had a commandment. And when we went to Haiti, and this is the commandment. When we were in Haiti, this is what we were. They said that this is as important on a mission trip as the Ten Commandments itself. And this is what it says. Actually, it's one of the Beatitudes. It says, blessed are the flexible, for they shall not get bent out of shape. So I want to bless you today with flexibility so that you don't get bent out of shape. In your baskets are slips of paper. We have the some of the planets and some of the bodies of the heavens in the on the tables, the moon, the sun, Neptune, Pluto, that sort of thing. And in your basket, you're going to pick out one of your slips of paper, and that'll tell you which table that you go to, all right? So if you would reach into your basket and pick out a slip of paper, find out what it is. Over here is the moon. We have the Milky Way right here to my left. This is the planet Uranus and then Sun. What are you right there? Mercury, Pleiades, Pluto, Alpha Centauri. That's the far one. Venus over here. The Earth, Mars, Jupiter, Saturn, Neptune. So find that table and get a seat. Everybody needs to be changing. Blessed are the flexible. Now, if you don't have a slip of paper, then find a table that needs somebody and have a seat. Yeah, really. I waited until he did the wrong thing.
Ask them not to mark themselves again when they move. That happened.
Okay. Once you move to a table, don't mark yourself present again. One of you is enough each week. All righty. Way to be flexible, church. It only hurts for a little bit, Jane Ellen. All right. All righty. Now, here's what I want you to do at each table to kind of get a conversation started briefly, a little icebreaker. This is what it is. Very simple. You're going to have to take just, because I'm not going to give you long, but I want you to go around and say and answer this question. If you were an animal, what animal would you be and why? Okay, if you were an animal, what animal would you be? And it can be a fish as well. If you were an animal, what animal would you be and why? All right, and just share that real briefly at the table. Go. Just another minute or two. I would be an osprey on a high tree overlooking like the Withlacoochee River. That's true. You're right. All right, do we have any strange animals at your table? All right, Leroy, what do we got? A skunk. All right, that's a person that wants to be left alone. Is that what he said? Yeah. All right, over here, Kelly. A platypus. That's right. She's even got a shirt that she made for a platypus, and that God does have a sense of humor. All right, anybody else? Any weird animals? Well, we got lots of strange people. But any weird animals? Anybody else? Yes. Luke, what was your strange animal? A badger. All right. All right. What is yours, Lisa? Jeff, you see what I got? I graduated from Florida State, Jeff, and I'm surrounded by gators, and I get such abuse at this church. It's unbelievable. Especially the last 4 years, I can tell you. It's been horrible. Yeah. All right. I appreciate all y'all being here today as we continue our journey. And I want to put up some of the slides or some of the statements that we had last week. You should have a brochure. In fact, I'm sorry, the table host, if you will pick out of your manila envelope and give each person at your table the program for this morning. Pick a planet, Doug, and you can jump in on one of these planets. Just not planet Earth, because they've told me you're a space cadet. So. So everybody should have a program for this morning. The title of this morning's lesson is The Adventure of Vision. As we continue to think together carefully about what it means to rethink the church and be the church today, I want to put these statements up again because these really are going to guide our process. And so I would really encourage you even committing these to memory because I think they're that important. First statement is this. This change, as there on your program, is not a quick fix, but an ongoing process, a journey. We are on a journey. The second statement is that the path before us is not a nice, neat path that leads to a nice, neat final destination. I mean, that's what we want. But you know, I don't know if you have found, but I've discovered as when God invites us on a journey, it's almost never that way. You're never going to find that in Scripture. When God invites somebody on a journey, there's always some real challenges. Rather, it is an invitation from God to follow His leading into what now looks like a fog. Therefore, trust and courage are critical. As God invites His people to follow Him, the whole essence of faith is that we often don't know exactly where we are going, but we are simply following someone who does. And that's really different. And if the insistence in our life, not just for this process, but in any journey of faith, if my insistence is I have to know where I'm going, I will never walk in faith. Third statement, mistakes will be made in this journey, and we will experience failure along the way. Fear of failure is one of the greatest obstacles to individual and or church or corporate growth. Removing this one obstacle, that is the refusal to be held captive by supposed failure, will do more than just about anything to help us on our journey. I know that you can identify times in your life, maybe even recently, when this fear has kept you from doing something that you might have done, the fear of failing. Not all fear is wrong, but the fear that keeps us from stepping out in faith, as we see many times in Scripture, like I have said before, there is no story in Scripture that we love to study and love to teach our children that doesn't have with it an element, a great element of fear that required trust and courage. Final statement, and this is critical as well. You will get an opportunity to say yes or no in this journey. At the end of these 13 weeks, there will be the opportunity for the church to say, yes, we want to do this, or no, that we don't. Nobody is going to coerce anybody into anything. This 13 weeks are simply presenting and dialoguing and discussing about this whole area of rethinking the church. Last week, we discussed and reflected together a statement by John Maxwell that I think was so appropriate. It's on your brochure. It's up on the screen. John Maxwell, pastor of many, many years, now the founder of Enjoy Ministries, says, if we're going to go anywhere, we're going to have to risk adventuring into the unknown. Life is about adventure, not maintenance. And then we considered the verse from Hebrews 12. 1. Let us run with perseverance the race that is marked out for us. How that race is marked out, you all, both in this journey and in the journey of our life, how that race is marked out is oftentimes unknown. God knows. But you look back on your life and you recognize you didn't realize you were going to be exactly here years ago. There are things that have come into your life that have shaped who you are and shaped how you look at the world that you never saw coming. That's part of the race that God has marked out for each one of us. And that's what makes it such an adventure. If you turn your brochure into the middle, you'll see up at the top of the page, what do you think? I want you to spend a few minutes answering two questions. And then spend another few minutes with your table host assistants in discussing these questions. So the first I want you simply to write and then discuss. Here's the first question. It's up on the screen. Would you please state the vision of First Baptist Church of Union Park? That's the first thing I want you to do. When you're through with that, the second is answering the question, why do you think First Baptist Church of Union Park exists? If you say, well, I think those are the same thing, okay. But they don't necessarily have to be. First thing, I want you to state the vision. Write down the vision of First Baptist Church of Union Park. And after you're through with that, why do you think First Baptist Church of Union Park exists? Go. After a few minutes, the table host will gather you around to spend a few moments in discussing what you've written. Let's kind of pull this together. What I'd like to do right now, and if you want to turn your chairs around so you can see me, that's fine. I mean, I know I'm not much to look at, but still it might make it a little easier for you. But let me just ask, as around the tables, what happened? Let's talk about this first statement. Or the first thing, state the vision of First Baptist Church of Union Park. I'd like to hear from some of the tables what you all heard. It can be the table host or it can be somebody else. Bill? Okay, I want you to say that.
Say what?
What you just said.
I forgot what I said.
You said the vision will be determined by.
I think the vision will be determined by the church body. Each and every person in here, I'm sure, has a different vision in mind. So we've got to come together and come up with one solid vision.
Okay. All right. Someone else. Diane? Mary Bell? I don't know if I can reach all the way over there or not. Go ahead. Just share a little bit.
No, I told Diane in our table it was not supposed to go any further, but thanks to Diane, here I am. I was on the committee mm-hmm. when we helped draft the new vision statement, mm-hmm. and sadly to say, Pastor, to you and all these people, mm-hmm. I do not remember what all it said, but that was what I said, and she wanted me,
okay.
because I think she's thinking it's time to review it.
Okay, that's what Diane's thinking. Okay, so another table. What do you want to state the vision? Yes. Okay, that's what, Jim, you said, to save the lost and feed the saved. Jim Bennett, all right. Someone else could be at that same table. What, stating the vision of First Baptist Church of Union Park. What did we hear? Sarita. Okay, combination of going out and make disciples, but a literal vision, you did not know what it said. Okay? All right. Lorene? Unity, diversity, learning, following the Lord, okay, will work for the body. Okay, that's that table. Another table? Somebody else? Linda? Maybe I can get over there.
What we decided, instead of going out into the neighborhoods and inviting people to church, invite them to Sunday school instead. And then when they see what nice, wonderful people we are, and that we're and that we are on fire for God, they'll naturally go to church.
Okay. All right. All right. Someone else. Other table, another table. What'd you hear? What did we hear? Danny? All right. Okay. All right. Dale?
We pretty much all came up with a consensus also at this table, basically to seek and to save the lost and then foster or encourage the personal relationship with God.
All right. All right. Steve?
Donna keyed a new term. She said it was making little Christ. I know we've never heard that before.
Making little Christ. All right. Bert? At your table.
Here at the table, I'll summarize by saying that there was a lot of things mentioned that we do, or that we should do. There was a lot mentioned in terms of things that the church should do. They should, you know, we should love one another. We should make disciples. We should go out into the community. But I guess in terms of trying to phrase that into an actual vision that would be common, what I thought about as well when I think of a vision, none of us really said, okay, this is a vision. We said these are different things that the church is supposed to do. And that was a summary, I guess, for me.
All right, let's move on to that second thing. Just for a few minutes, why do we exist? Was that similar or was it different at your table or what? Why does First Baptist Church Union Park exist? Just one table at a time or whatever, just quickly. Okay. Okay, but that wasn't the same thing that you said, though. No, you said unity, diversity, learning, and yeah. So okay, interesting. All right, someone else. Yes. I did, didn't I? Oh, okay. Lorene said, soul winning church, going out and bringing in new members, and. That's basically what it said. Okay. And worship. Okay. All right. Jeff.
Our mission is to go rescue the POWs in the surrounding community.
Rescue the POWs in the surrounding community. All right. Yes. Where? All right, Katie? Oh, green with Jeff. Oh, okay. All right, Sherry. I don't know if I can get there now. Go ahead. Okay. Okay, I see. You. All right. All right. I'd like to get a bunch of others, but what's that, Martin? Oh, Sherry. I'm sorry. Sherry said that why the church exists, we exist because God wants us to exist, and that God has, in his sovereignty, established the church here, and that as long as we're obedient, we'll continue to exist, and, you know, we kind of exist for his pleasure, I think, by his will. So she kind of took a different slant. All right, as we went around and we talked, there was some consensus, but one thing I hope you noticed, there was a lot of difference as well. And so I want you to look at your program because I want to talk about something. This is the adventure of vision. This is the title of this. Because I want to tell you something, folks. Proverbs 29:18 in a couple of different versions. First, in the that's actually New King James, says, "Where there is no vision, the people cast off restraint." We're familiar with the vision that says, "Where there is no vision, the people perish." But what that literally means is that they cast off restraint. Where there is no vision, the people cast off restraint. I want you to look at how it says that in the Message. It says, if people cannot see what God is doing, they stumble all over themselves. So you got two questions that are there. And that is, what does it mean to cast off restraint? And what does stumble all over ourselves look like in a church? Let's dialogue that, like, about that as a big group. What do you think it means when it says cast off restraint? Or you can answer that second one. What does stumbling all over yourselves look like in a church? Lisa. Okay. Disobedience. First thing that comes to Lisa's mind is disobedience. All right. Linda?
If you don't know what God wants you to do as a church, you're everyone's making independent decisions, and there isn't unity, and you literally are stumbling, and every individual group might have a different thought of what we ought to be doing.
All right. I want to just say something about what Linda just said, because as we run around the tables and we ask for visions and why the church exists, there's a lot of good things said. Let me tell you what didn't happen. Nobody said not all the tables said the same thing. Which should say to all of us this: we've got a lot of different visions. And I want to say something to every single one of us, myself included. Too many visions are just as crippling as no vision at all. Please hear me when I say that. I don't think that our problem as a church is that we don't have a vision. I think one of the primary reasons as a church that we're struggling is that we have too many visions. I think everybody has a vision about our church, but it's not all the same vision. And so everybody's kind of deciding what their own individual vision of the church is. Folks, that is crippling. And one of the things that I want to see happen out of this 13 weeks, and what I want to talk about, and what we're talking about today is this adventure, maintenance or adventure. The adventure we're talking about is the adventure of vision. The adventure of thinking through some things very, very carefully. I want to change roles for a moment. I want to change hats. And I want, for a moment, for you to look at me as a physician, as a doctor. I will never forget. You see, I believe very, very strongly that there are some reasons that I'm not completely yet aware of why God took us through the journey with Hannah. Some of those things are becoming clear for me. I can remember, you see, when the doctor sat down with us and told us that Hannah was going to need a transplant, we had some decisions to make. We could have gone into maintenance. And you know what maintenance would have been? Maintenance would have had Hannah continue to do exactly what she always did to try to stay alive as long as she could stay alive, simply survive as long as she would survive. The end result is she was going to eventually die anyway. Now, she would have lived longer than she lived, but she would eventually have died anyway. So we had a choice to make. Were we going to simply opt for maintenance, or were we going to risk on an adventure for life? When the physician told us that, imagine how difficult that is for a doctor to tell a family. Imagine how much easier it would be for a doctor to tell a family, everything's all right. It's okay. Nothing to worry about. We can continue it like this for a long, long time. Be much easier. We would have felt a lot better than hearing the news that we heard. Your daughter's going to need a double lung transplant. But folks, is that the kind of doctor that you want? Do you want a doctor that's simply going to tell you what you want and that makes you feel better and everything's going to look good, but eventually he's not going to tell you what's the right thing? Last week, we looked at the ministry of maintenance and adventure. And I want to kind of define the ministry of maintenance, because we had a little confusion of that last week. That became apparent last Sunday night. Maintenance is simply doing the same thing over and over and over again and expecting different results. Somebody defined that as the definition of insanity. What I am saying to the church, and I want you to see me as a physician, a pastor physician, if you will, is that I'm saying that transplant is needed. I'm saying that some serious work needs to be done within this body. That's not an easy thing to say. But folks, I've invested over 21 years of my life here. I think that gives me a little bit of a platform to say something. Do you know what it means when I talk about transplant? Because I want to say something. There's a part of me that's very excited. But when I talk about transplant, I want to phrase it in a question. And this is the question. If First Baptist Church of Union Park was beginning today, what would it look like? That's the question of the adventure of vision. If First Baptist Church of Union Park was beginning today, what would it look like? Or if you could say, if First Baptist Church of Union Park was beginning today, how would it look different? Basically the same question. So here's what I want you to do. In the interest of time, I want to just present that question. And I want to say that is the question that I want to keep in front of us. That is the question that I want us to think about. That's the question that we can discuss tonight when we come back together for the point of discussion. You see, last week we considered maintenance or adventure. Today, we have specified what a ministry of adventure would look like, or what it would be, I should say. We have specified what you will be voting on when you get the opportunity to say yes or no. And it is this. It is the adventure of launching out on a new beginning. To dream again of what could be. To begin again the adventure of vision. In your brochure, you have this little yellow bookmark. Or if it's not, the table host will find it, should find it in their thing, and I want you to pass it out. This is why your tables are arranged in this big circle, and I'm in the middle. It's to kind of illustrate the best we could with tables this story between the difference between Ptolemy and Copernicus. Several years ago, I gave this as an illustration, but I wanted to bring this back. I want you to take a few minutes at your table, and I'd like you at your table to read it out loud. Table host, you can facilitate how that exactly would happen. One person perhaps read the Ptolemy vision, the other the Copernicus vision, and then I want to make some comments on it. All right? So at your table, just spend a few moments reading about these two visions of our world. Go. The brochure is hopefully a pretty obvious answer. And that is this. Let's go over together. Ptolemy believed what was at the center of the solar system? The Earth. That should go there in the blank. Copernicus, on the other hand, believed that what was at the center of the solar system? The sun. Who was right? Copernicus. Folks, here's the interesting thing. For well over 1,000 years, people lived with the firm conviction that the earth stood still and everything revolved around the earth. That had, as you might expect, great implications in the church at that time. Because that kind of belief lends itself to this geocentricity idea, lends itself to the fact that man is the center of all things and everything revolves around us. But Copernicus' revolution, and that's really what it was in the scientific world, if you look at the dates, Copernicus' revolution predated a revolution in the religious or spiritual world called the Reformation. Copernicus' revolution was the earth is not the center. Man is, and in the religious world, that means that man is not the center. God is the center of all things, and everything revolves around God. As we think about a vision, we have to ask ourselves the question, is our vision going to be Ptolemy? Or is it going to be Copernicus? Who is going to be the center of the vision? Let me give you common visions of the church. I think they are Ptolemy. I don't think they tell the whole story. I think they are in some respects inadequate. They're on your page 3 in your brochure. Let me go over those real quickly. Number 1, going to church will make your life better. Folks, there are a lot of people and there are a lot of churches that really are committed to that man-centered perspective. That the reason you go to church is going to make your life better. And the church operates that way. Second, which is better than the first, but I still think inadequate in respects. Second, going to church will show you how Jesus wants you to change the world. Now, we say, well, doesn't Jesus want us to change the world? Yes, he does, but you see why that's inadequate? Because there's something or someone that Jesus wants to change before he changes the world. Guess who that is? You, me. And see, the whole idea is that, and this is beginning to flourish in churches today. The whole idea is we're just going to go out and just change the world. But there's something else. There's another dynamic that's going on that we miss. God wants to change us. And through changed lives, then the world can begin to change. Third common vision of the church is this. And I'll spend a second on this. Going to church is all about saving lost souls and helping the already saved to be visibly moral. And then I'd like you to put there until Jesus returns. Going to church is all about saving lost souls and helping the already saved to be visibly moral until Jesus returns. Now, let me say something about this one. especially the first statement. Going to church is all about saving lost souls. We should never be less than that. We should never be less than that. We certainly ought to be about seeing souls who are lost saved and coming to know Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. But the reason I'm saying that that is told me or inadequate is that it doesn't go far enough. And Jesus wants a whole lot more than us just simply being moral until he returns. And so I want you to turn on the back page. And let me give you what I call a fourfold bullseye. This is what we will be looking at over the next 6-7 weeks. At the very center, so you follow that arrow from the center, you come down so it'd be on your bottom line. These things should encompass. These should, in a general way, these aren't specific in many respects, but these should encompass in a general way, well, I'm suggesting anyway, our vision. First is spiritual theology. Spiritual theology. So that would come on your bottom line there, spiritual theology, because that's the foundation. Do you know why that's the foundation? Because what you believe is the most important thing about you. It determines everything else. In fact, out of the seven questions, which I've already alluded to, out of the seven questions of spirituality, spiritual theology, which will be starting next week, will come these other three aspects of the bullseye. But the first one is spiritual theology. What is it that we believe? And we're going to phrase this in seven questions that I am trusting and asking God will become a part, the very fabric of our church, if we choose to go through this adventure of vision. Secondly, is spiritual formation. Somebody over here, Donna, said, "A little Christ." The famous quote by C.S. Lewis that I've used over and over and over again. That this is what God's, this is what the church ought to be about: drawing men into Christ, seeing them saved, and making them little Christ. The whole idea of us being changed, the whole idea of us being formed into what it means to be like Jesus Christ. Spiritual formation. Third is spiritual community. And that is the dynamic that happens within the body of Christ. See, spiritual theology is what I believe. Spiritual formation is what God is doing in my life to make me like Christ. Spiritual community is our relationships together as the church. But I want to tell you that we can't stop there. The last one is spiritual mission. Coming out of what we believe we'll be looking at spiritual formation. Coming out of what we believe will come spiritual community. And coming out of what we believe will come spiritual mission. In other words, how we move out beyond these walls to impact the world for Christ. In our interview on Thursday, Jeff was talking to me, and I said this to Jeff as we were talking. I said, for me, this whole process is not about us becoming bigger. It's not, folks. Jesus said, I will build my church. And you know, he's really good at that. Jesus is really good at building his church. What this is about for me is for us to become the church that God wants us to be. It's for us to rethink what that means. For us to think about what would a vision look like? What would it look like if we began today? I don't want us to be afraid to ask that question. If you can't see me, I want you to get where you can see me right now. On October 21st, 2006, the day that Hannah was buried, I stood about right this exact spot, and Delbert Smith came up and talked to me. And Delbert said to me, told me a story that I'd never heard. He said, "Do you know what? Do you know that your daughter helped me one time?" I said, "I didn't know what he was talking about." If you know that Delbert went through a cornea transplant, and he was unsettled about it. And while Hannah was going through transplant, he talked to Hannah and just kind of asked her advice. I didn't know that happened. And what Hannah told Delbert Smith, I found out, was, she says, "Mr. Smith," she says, "I know that I'm going, if I don't get this transplant, I know that I'm going to die. So anyway, I'm going to risk it. I'm going to take the chance on life," is what she told Delbert. And Delbert told me that was part of that conversation is what gave him the courage to go ahead and go through his cornea transplant. Now, I know what you might be thinking as I allude to Hannah. You might be thinking, but Coleman, Hannah died. And you might be saying, can you guarantee us today that if we step out like this, can you guarantee to us that we won't die? Listen to me. I cannot and I will not guarantee that. But as the physician, this is what I believe, and this is what I'm saying. I believe that if we don't do this, I believe that we are eventually going to die anyway. That's what gives me the courage to say what I'm saying. I'm not going to sugarcoat this, folks. Stepping out like this is going to be challenging if we vote to do it, and it's going to be difficult at times, very difficult at times. That is why I cannot and I will not make the choice for you. As the patient, so to speak, you have to make the decision. You're going to have to be the ones at the end of this 13 weeks, you're going to have to be the one that says, yes, we want to do this, or no, we don't want to do this. Right now, what I am serving, the function I'm serving right now, is as the physician, telling you what I think and what my opinion is. I'm not saying that you have to agree with it. I'm not saying you have to vote yes. I'm not saying if you don't that you're some terrible kind of Christian. I'm not saying that. If we step out on this adventure, you say, what's going to happen? Remember that second statement? It's an invitation from God to follow His leading to what now looks like a fog. But listen, folks. That's why courage is so important. I know we've run over time, but Steve, can we clue that up? I want to show you something. It's 3 minutes long. We might start church a little bit late today, but we'll still end on time, I promise. I promise. The adventure of whatever, I don't know. I want you to watch this because this is the kind of courage we're talking about. If we can get this queued up. I don't know if it's going to be at that